This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime alert. Hourly update. Breaking crime news now.
I'm Jennifer Gould. The high-stakes murder trial of Hollywood heir Nick Reiner descended into absolute chaos Wednesday when his celebrity defense attorney abruptly dumped his client in open court, leaving the accused double killer to face a double murder rap with a public defender. The judge then addressed him in court.
Do you waive your right to be arraigned today so that your matter may be continued to February 23rd, 2026 for arraignment?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Nick, the 32-year-old son of legendary director Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle Singer Reiner, sat in standard jail scrubs and let out an eerie, chilling smirk as his legal powerhouse Alan Jackson announced he had, quote-unquote, no choice but to walk away from the case. The courtroom shakeup sent shockwaves through the Stanley Mosque Courthouse just as Reiner was slated to be arraigned for the grisly December 2025 slaughter of his parents. Jackson, who has represented Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, and who recently most famously secured an acquittal for Karen Reed, held a frantic closed-door meeting with the judge before emerging to announce his departure. Outside the courthouse, Jackson hinted at a massive internal fracture, stating that, quote-unquote, circumstances beyond Nick's control made it impossible to continue, and that although he's removing himself from the case, he continues to back Nick's innocence. Listen.
What we've learned, and you could take this to the bank, is that pursuant to the laws of this state, pursuant to the law in California, Nick Reiner is not guilty of murder. Print that.
Insiders whisper that the Reiner family may have pulled the huge plug on the millions in legal fees required to keep a top-tier firm on the case. The details of the crime remain stomach-churning. Rob, 78, and Michelle, 70, were reportedly found with their throats slit in their beds hours after a heated holiday blowout at comedian Conan O'Brien's home. Prosecutors allege Nick, a troubled drug addict with 17 stints in rehab, snapped and carried out a frenzied knife attack so violent it left the Brentwood mansion looking like a blood-drenched war zone. Nick's sister, Romy Reiner, found her dead parents after a massage therapist was left waiting outside the Reiner gate with no response from inside. Nick was arrested a few hours later, 20 minutes away from the crime scene. This horror was a powder keg years in the making. Records reveal the LAPD had been called to the Reiner residence at least six times since 2013 and two times in 2019 for family violence, mental health crises, and welfare checks. Despite a decade of domestic terror and drug use, the parents allowed Nick to live in a guest house on the property. While Reiner's new public defender, Kimberly Green, scrambles to catch up, Los Angeles DA Nathan Hochman made it clear the state is eyeing the death penalty for the multiple murder special circumstances case. At his first court appearance last month, Nick was forced to wear a blue suicide smock, but he's since been taken off suicide watch. As the 32-year-old stares down a potential needle, Reiner remains held without bail with his next date with destiny set for February 23rd.
Harvey Weinstein is considering a guilty plea to address an unresolved rape charge and potentially avoid a third trial in New York, as mentioned by a judge on Thursday. During discussions about a possible plea, the fallen film executive remained defiant, stating in court, "I acknowledge my unfaithfulness and wrongful actions, but I have never assaulted anyone." This statement came after Judge Curtis Farber denied his request to overturn his sole conviction from a previous trial regarding the forced oral sex of a woman in 2006, which could lead to a 25-year prison sentence. In that same trial, a jury acquitted Weinstein of similar allegations involving another woman from 2006 and was deadlocked on a charge of raping a hairstylist and actress, Jessica Mann, in a Manhattan hotel in 2013. Weinstein's attorneys claim that the verdict from last June was compromised due to conflicts and bullying among jurors. Farber dismissed these arguments, setting a new trial date for March 3 for the unresolved third-degree rape charge, which carries a maximum sentence of 4 years, less than Weinstein has already served. "I am disappointed with today's ruling," Weinstein told the judge. "You witnessed the trial and saw how external forces deprived me of my fundamental right to a fair trial." He accused one juror of having a personal agenda that influenced deliberations, intimidating others, and spreading false claims, which he argued destroyed any chance of impartiality. After Judge Farber's ruling, Weinstein's attorney, Arthur Adelia, expressed a desire to explore plea negotiations before meeting privately with the judge, prosecutors, and other defense lawyers to discuss the situation. Shortly thereafter, Farber returned to the bench to inform the court that Weinstein wished to take some time to consider his options. This latest development marks another complicated chapter in the former Hollywood mogul's lengthy legal battle, which has unfolded over 7 years, including trials in two states, and a reversal of a conviction and a retrial that ended in turmoil in New York last year. Weinstein has consistently denied all allegations against him. The charges against him emerged from a wave of sexual harassment and assault claims that surfaced in 2017, igniting the Me Too movement against sexual misconduct. Initially, Weinstein acknowledged the way I've behaved with colleagues in the past while maintaining that he never engaged in non-consensual sex. At trial, Weinstein's defense argued that the women involved accepted his advances in hopes of securing work in the entertainment industry, later falsely accusing him for financial gain and publicity. The split verdict last June was unusual, as several jurors requested to address the judge about tensions within the jury. In a series of exchanges, one juror reported feeling ostracized by others. The foreperson referenced jurors discussing Weinstein's past inappropriately, and another juror claimed discussions were progressively positive. The foreperson later returned to the judge to express concerns over being pressured to change their stance, stating they feared for their safety after a fellow juror threatened, "I'll see you outside." Judge Farber highlighted the confidentiality of juror discussions and reminded jurors not to disclose their proceedings. Since the trial, Weinstein's legal team has spoken to the first juror who raised concerns and another who remained silent. In sworn statements, both expressed disbelief in Weinstein's guilt, but conceded to peer pressure from aggressive jurors. One juror recalled feeling threatened after an insult regarding her intelligence and said, "Finally, I just gave in." Weinstein's lawyers argue that the tensions constituted threats that tainted the deliberation process, asserting that was unfair for his client. Prosecutors contend that the judge was made aware of only isolated instances of contentious interactions, which, quote, can be normal among jurors. Currently held in New York, Weinstein is also appealing a separate rape conviction in Los Angeles.
A father in Tennessee is speaking publicly after investigators say a mother killed her two young sons and their grandmother before taking her own life. Investigators with the Humphreys County Sheriff's Office say four people were found dead Friday morning during a welfare check at a home on East Little Richland Avenue. Authorities believe 32-year-old Heather Thompson shot her two young sons and her grandmother before taking her own life. The victims were identified as 4-year-old Arias Thompson, 13-year-old Isaiah Johnson, and 88-year-old Evelyn Johnson. Jeremiah Thompson is Arias' biological father and Isaiah's stepfather. He says he has been part of Isaiah's life since the boy was a baby. He and Heather were separated, but still talked every day. When he first received the call that his family was gone, he misunderstood.
And I thought, like, they all moved away, which blew my mind because my wife and I, we were going to get a house out here.
Thompson tells WSMV the reality did not sink in right away. He describes the first hours as overwhelming.
I was like, "I'm sorry if I'm not feeling emotional." And the first 4 or 5 hours, I think I cried everything out. I think I'm numb to everything, you know. It does suck.
Thompson describes Isaiah becoming more involved in sports and learning instruments. He says Arias loved being around his older brother and liked to pester him. Thompson says he never saw any warning signs.
If you're feeling overwhelmed, why don't you just let me know? Like, you can just say, hey, I need a break. Can you please just take the boys for the summer or for the rest of the year? I would have gladly done that, you know?
The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation is assisting as the case remains under review pending autopsy results. A community memorial for all four family members is scheduled at the Humphreys County Funeral Home. It is open to the public. Thompson has also launched a GoFundMe to help bring his sons back to New Mexico for burial, which is $2,000 shy of its $20,000 goal.
911 call has surfaced from the home of a beloved Ohio dentist and his wife, revealing a sobbing woman reporting a heated domestic dispute just 2 months before the pair was executed in their upstairs bedroom. Spencer Tepe, 37, and his wife Monique, 39, were found riddled with bullets, while their two toddlers and family dog remained unharmed downstairs. This early morning distress call from April 15, 2025, captured a woman wailing to dispatchers that she and, quote, my man got into it, end quote, at 2:45 in the morning. Listen.
This is 911. We just got a hang-up call. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm okay.
Hey, well, it sounds like you're crying.
I'm okay. I'm just emotional.
Well, how'd you call 911 in the first place? Arguing with somebody?
My man got into it, but I'm okay. I promise.
You guys were just arguing. Nobody hit each other?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
While the caller insisted the fight was not physical, Monique's brother-in-law, Rob Misle, says the voice is, quote, obviously not Monique, end quote, suggesting a guest or third party was involved in the late night drama. The mystery deepens as a neighbor just down the street reported a terrified 911 call on December 19th, just 11 days before the murders, claiming a stranger was smashing and banging on her door at 2:30 a.m. The woman told dispatchers someone was trying to get in, but the intruder vanished before police arrived at the home, located just a three-minute walk from the Tepes. The nightmare officially unfolded on the morning of December 30th, when Spencer's boss at Athens Dental Depot called 911 from Florida, frantic because the devoted dentist, who was always on time, had failed to show up for work. Co-workers and a friend rushed to the Wineland Park residence after an uneventful police response and were met with the sound of children crying inside. Looking through a window, they made a bone-chilling discovery. Spencer's body was crumpled on the floor in a pool of blood next to the bed. Officials say Spencer had reportedly been blasted multiple times, and Monique was hit in the chest with a bullet sometime between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. The calculated violence stands in jarring contrast to the couple's private life. Friends say the Tepes were, quote, madly in love, end quote, still acted like newlyweds as they approached their fifth anniversary. In a tragic twist of fate, the couple was brutally slaughtered inside the very house where they were married back in 2021. Detectives recovered 9mm spent shell casings on the second floor, but found no weapon and no signs of a break-in. Authorities have emphatically dismissed the possibility of a murder-suicide. The hunt continues also for a person of interest caught on grainy surveillance footage trudging through a snow-dusted alley behind the home during the morning hours in which authorities believe the couple was killed. Clad in a dark hooded coat and light pants, the figure moves with a calculated slowness, and their face is not seen. Authorities have been tight-lipped about a possible motive in the murders, as the Tepe children remain with relatives. Columbus police are desperate for leads. Detectives are asking anyone with information on the video figure or more to call homicide at 614-645-4730 or Crime Stoppers at 614-461-8477. More Crime and Justice news after this.